Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
And we're here. Welcome to episode 130 of The Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I'm your host, Jim Biscardi, and as always, joined by Christian Hoffer. Megan is off getting married, and so we brought my man, Aaron Perrine, from Phase Zero to the show. Let's talk about Pokemon.
It's the crossover event everyone's been asking for.
Boom! I have to start the show off by showing off, so give me 1 second.
Of course he does. Of course.
So the Pokemon Company sent me this giant thing.
Wow.
Jeez. It is all of the celebration cards, the re-released cards, the 25 of them or so, all in here, including that Charizard right in there. And then that's got my name on it.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty freaking cool.
Pretty awesome. Oh my
So
God.
When are you going to break that open so you can sell that Charizard like on
Stop eBay? It. I would never. It would never. You would
Logan
even
Paul
insinuate
is,
that.
Logan Paul's in your DMs right now, Jim.
That's it. I'm just going to put that on a chain and wear it around my neck. Wear it out to a fight.
Oh man. I was wondering if you were going to get those because they sent out, you know, I saw that they were sending them out to people. And then I was like, you know, I don't know if Jim is quite at the level of influencer.
Wow. You know, okay. This is a very important show. We do a lot of very important things here. Okay. We have a lot of influence.
I thought that your like Geodude fandom might, you know, be like a check mark against it.
Oh, wow. Okay. So that's what we're doing. Okay. Well, all right. Well, first things first, Aaron's new to the show and he's already like, Christian and I are already squabbling and that's generally how the show goes. Aaron, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Pokemon fandom? Where did it start? What's your jam, man?
Oh God. So let's see here. We go back to the long lost days of 1998. As my sweatshirt would indicate, for those of you viewing at home and for those of you listening at home, it says West Coast. I'm from California. So the Pokemon fever swept very, very quickly. We already had like a Game Boy in the house. We had like Tetris and like Kirby's Dream Land. I had like, you know, Donkey Kong Land, all that stuff. And then you see the commercials for Pokemon. And it's one of those weird pre-internet phenomena where you actually hear the stories about, have you seen this thing? Have you seen this like cartoon that's out? Like, and I'm like, what? And then you're sitting there watching Kids WB rip and the commercial comes on with all of them getting on the bus and you're like, oh my gee, what is this? There's two versions. It's on you. I can play it. I don't monopolize the TV. So my grandmother's not mad about missing her stories. So I got blue version the first
time.
And then from there, of course, you get yellow, you get all of the ensuing generations. I remember like the big, huge centerpiece of like 2000, what would that be? Like 2002 Christmas, I want to say, was getting a Game Boy Advance SP and Sapphire.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't care. Like, I'm like, if you guys can only get that, like, that's all I want. I just want the flutes. I want lots of flutes and lots of water and to pick my mud kip and keep doing what I do. Like, so I've been looking at the series for a long time. I have nice. Pokemon Stadium. I'm the house champion at freaking Magikarp Splash. 20-something years undefeated at that wonderful, wonderful minigame. And I was excited when Christian and you guys said you guys needed the alternate. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Well, welcome. But go ahead, Christian.
No, I was going to say, I remember, I didn't even know that you were a Pokemon fan, Aaron, until, like, before one of, like, the comic book staff meetings. You had, like, postcards that you had made of, like, the Kanto region. And I was like, oh, my God, that is, like, the coolest thing. Yeah.
I made, like, a Lake of Rage dual print postcard with Gyarados. They're hanging on my wall.
That was my God, that's incredible. Thing.
Because Jim called me out because he's like, do you have a glue gun? Like, are you hot gluing something right now during a meeting? And I'm like, yes, I am. I'm doing a Gyarados thing. Please don't call me out too hard.
He was doing his Pinterest project, and we applaud that here. So, good Lord.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Well, we have a good show for you today. We got a bit of news, and we've got some stuff to talk about. The thing I'm excited to get to is basically the deep dive at the end. Where, yeah, I mean, we all saw it coming, right? We all knew that Hisuian Zorora and Zoroark were going to have absolutely horrible and horrifying descriptions about them, and sure enough, they did. So we're going to get to that later. But first, we need to talk about some news. Christian, did you do the Pokemon Go Halloween stuff, or did you forget?
I did. That is what kind of got me back in. So I've kind of been taken. I've been not as engaged with Pokemon Go as I have been basically since there was the fan revolt back in August. Yeah. So, but I did start doing the Halloween stuff this week. Actually, to be perfectly honest, it wasn't the Halloween stuff that got me back into it. It was the realization that if I want Hoopa Unbound, I really need to like bust some. I don't even know what I would be busting, but I needed to get to it. So, I didn't get any shinies or anything like that. I managed to get all of the Pumpkaboos. I managed to get, all the costume stuff. I mean, there wasn't very main costume stuff this year.
No, that was a big letdown for me. We all know I love my costumed Pokemon.
Yeah, they only had Piplup and a new Pikachu. I don't even count Pikachu. Yeah. It's like, you know, like when isn't he wearing a costume at this point? but yeah, like
but Christian, that's part of the problem because now I'm so far in on the costume Pikachus that I need to make sure I get them all. Otherwise, if I miss one, then I will forever be distraught and that's it. Cause who knows when they're coming back there. If this may be a one-time thing, they're not going to come back. It's a big problem.
I would say that you're off base, but then again, I have like 200 costumed Pikachu at this point. And,
right. But the whole point is to get, just make sure you have one of each.
No, yeah.
You need the collection.
It's ridiculous.
Because we're not going to get last year's Halloween Pikachu. We're not going to get, like, they're not coming back unless. Now, here, Niantic, listen up. You need to do a Pikachu event. Where it's just nothing but costumed Pikachu. Just think Flower Crown Eevee on steroids. Okay? You let me know when that happens, and I will be there.
That might be the most unpopular event in, like, Pokemon Go history.
Stop it. No way.
I'm serious.
It would be the most popular. Don't you know what a global phenomenon Pikachu is? He's going to be in a Thanksgiving Day float.
Yeah, but he's only, like, 50%. He got downgraded.
Stop. It's true. He did get down. Now he has to share with you.
Let's not say, Aaron. Welcome to Bizarro World. You know, you guys are like interviewing, like, you know, like, I don't know, like Tom Holland and Zendaya. This podcast is me and Jim like bitching about costume Pikachu.
I like it though. As so, like, okay, so for those of you who don't know, Christian also does all the like a bunch of the Disney stuff for our site. Yep. And this all reminds me of the fervor around any limited release merch at Disneyland. Like if you, like Jim saying, like, oh, get all the different costumes, and it's just costume Pikachu. And you're like, that's madness. It would never work. But there are people out there that would absolutely love it. They would absolutely be down for ripping open, you know, basically ripping open packs and being like, oh man, the third Lucha Pikachu, whack.
And chat, I need you to let me know. Would you participate? There's already some dissenters in the chat, but I need to know who else is going to participate in this Pikachu event with me when it inevitably happens.
Oh my god.
Because here's the thing. There's some people in the chat are saying, "Oh, you could just trade for them." Do you know how like I got to go find a player 3 years back to go get a Pikachu in a hat over there? Like, I'm not how am I going to find that? Not going to happen. The trading system is already a pain in the A. Okay.
Some of us remember how hard it was to get all those weird special Pikachus back up to as far as you could get them from either GBA or even right. Game Boy. It was an entire thing. Like, I remember a lot of bad game FAQs. Like things with those drawings at the top of them, like, here's what you have to do. So you need like a Game Boy player, you need like a hanger, like a wire hanger, you need a 526k modem, and you'll get it all up to the DS. And I'm like, this is too much. This is entirely too much. I don't want it to have surf that badly. I enjoy it, but no.
I remember that when people were complaining about, I forget which run it was. I think it was part of the 20th anniversary, and you had to pick which Pikachu, like which Ash Hat Pikachu you got. And like they went back and they did one where it's like, no, no, we're going to give you all of them, like a year later. But I remember people were like, I keep on cursing. I don't know. This is what happens when we start 30 minutes late. You know, the filter comes off. You know, people were ticked. About like, you know, I can only choose one Pikachu with a hat. It's like they're all the same. Like the difference is the symbol on the hat.
They're not the same. You just explained the difference. You literally just explained the difference.
It's like, oh my god.
It's not the same.
This is like Pokemon Go for like a year. Pokemon Go, when they were like trying to string out content, instead of like releasing, I don't know, like Gen 5, they were like, this month we're going to release a new Spinda pattern. And people are like, yes, a new Spinda! We have like one of nine! Is it the Heartbreak Spinda? Oh. I was like, oh god, this is so sad. This is really sad, guys.
Spinda just catching just absolute strays. Just absolutely just minded its business. Oh, it's reverse symbol just catching all the strays. Golly. Oh no. But you're right. The drip feed was annoying. Okay. It was dumb.
But Zenpai in the chat, I just want you to know. I know you're making fun of me with your Geodude comment with the if they put a top hat on Geodude, I would lose my mind. Yeah, you're right. You know what? I would buy space for the first time on Pokemon Go just to fill it with Geodude in a top hat.
That's
so what?
I mean that would, I guess, be like the one costume that you could run on Geodude is a top hat, because you know,
no,
like
you can't do the top hat because they already did it with Galarian Weezing. You can't do that. No top hat.
I mean, what sort of costume would you want Geodude?
I want a pirate hat on Geodude.
Oh god.
Oh, a bow tie. Olmec, a bow tie would be great. That's a great suggestion.
Like I like the pants, just like a pair of like trousers that are like hanging from his, like, you know, like his body with no legs. They just kind
Rival
of go.
John, a miner's hard hat. That makes total sense. Zenpai saying it's got no neck. That's fine. You just it's a stick on.
Flower crown Geodude.
Yeah.
Oh man. We haven't even started the show yet.
We haven't even started the rundown. All right. Well, let's go. So we talked about Halloween. On Pokemon Go, it was fun. I had fun. I started a second account for my kid, and so we're gonna go see how that goes and see how she does. Otherwise, there's a new event coming up, the Festival of Lights. We got the details on that. Christian, why don't you run that down for us?
Yes. So Festival of Lights will introduce a new Pokemon to Pokemon Go. It's Dedenne. And even like the best part about this, like it's Dedenne, it's easier to do friendship bonuses, like you're able to open up more gifts. But the thing that cracked me up about the announcement was they were just like, yeah, enjoy putting Dedenne in your Pokedex. Like, they're not even trying to hide that this is a useless Pokemon. It's like, you know, that just cracked me up. It's like, usually like, oh, look at this cool Pokemon. They're like, yeah, this is Pokedex filler. Enjoy. You know, I will say, and this is like embarrassing on my part, I totally forgot when they announced the Festival of Lights, like, holiday, that this is a tie-in with Diwali, like the Indian Festival of Lights. Like, and so when they were like, oh yeah, check out, like, you know, like some of the new stuff, and I'm like, why are avatars in, like, you know, traditional Indian gear? Oh god, I was like I felt like the biggest jerk, like, in the world. So, you know, that is why we're doing Festival of Lights. It's to celebrate Diwali, which actually runs before the event starts, in like a weird irony.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, you know, but they're doing a special, like, India exclusive event, you know, where just in India, one night, on, it's like November 7th, I think, they're running like double catch candy and stuff like that to actually celebrate, which I think is cool. Like, I think that sort of stuff is pretty neat. Like, kind of like how they did the Day of the Dead event last year, where it was like exclusive to Latin America. You know, this year it's worldwide, but I like the idea of doing worldwide events, but doing something extra, actually special for the folks who, you know, actually, you know, celebrate it. So we're not just like appropriating their culture for Pokemon.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. All right. Well, that one should be interesting.
Yes, Aaron.
Anything that makes me like have to like look up Diwali, like I just wanted to laugh. Like, there's so many electric mice. There's just so many, and they're all, someone loves them, you know, like every single one of them. There's so many derivatives. God bless. And I'm like, I'm sure someone's really pumped, but yeah, for me too. It was like, okay. All right. Yeah. Sounds good. I'm happy for the people who celebrate the holiday. That's more important than Diwali, unfortunately. I mean, like, oh, what's his name? I'm like, oh, I'm so sad. I was like, it reminds me of like, when I guess when did they introduce Pachirisu?
Yeah, Parachisu, and that was that's the Gen 5, right?
Yeah,
I think that was when I realized, I'm like, we're just gonna do this dance forever. There's gonna be an electric mouse forever, just because.
And I mean, basically,
Gen 4.
Okay, I figured. I'm like, I feel like that was earlier. Five. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you know, I was actually kind of ticked off with Paradiso for Pokemon Go, because that's like exclusive to Canada. Like, you can't get that in Pokemon Go unless you
can't even do it.
Drive up to Toronto, and who wants to do that? I kid. Toronto is one of the great metropolises of, you know, North America. But, you know,
Pachirisu is, so that's how you gotta love the chat. Chat's always there for us on how to pronounce these things, because, man, if we had some fumbles.
Pachirisu, is that really
Pachirisu? I mean, it makes sense now. Now I get it.
Thank you, John.
I mean, well, I got nothing. Like, we know.
I do need to go back though, because take a total step back. We're going back to the Geodude thing for a second, because Julian James in music in the chat, cowboy hat on Geodude, that's the winner. Sorry, everyone had very good suggestions. Cowboy hat is 100% the winner. Needs to be the thing. I need Western Geodude in my life. Tomorrow.
No one is asking for this.
No, everyone is asking for it. everybody.
Not a soul.
No, yes, all of the souls. Christian, is there a Charizard we have to claim?
There's a world championship Charizard. I forgot, because you know it's a smaller thing. So give me a second. Let me pull it up. The specifics. There's a special distribution. The global exhibition happened. I forget exactly when the global exhibition happened, but basically that replaced the world championships this year. Because, you know, COVID. So the Charizard used by the winner,
whose name
is Leonardo Onanomi.
But like, Not almost. That. It's very close to being Leon. Very close.
Oh, okay. I was like what are you trying to say there, Jim? That I can't pronounce real people's names? Like, no. I can pronounce real people's
I'm
names.
I'm saying
Jim.
It's almost Leonardo. Like, is Leon short for Leonardo, or is Leon just like one of those like shared names?
I think it's like a derivative. I think I don't think you need to be named Leonardo.
No, in order that's what I mean. Okay.
Anyways, but he used a Charizard.
He's an Italian Leon.
He's an Italian Leon. It's true. He used a Charizard in the global exhibition, and you can get it by using the code GlobalChamp2021 with a zero in place of the O in global. And that runs until November 3rd. And so give me a second, let me see what it's got, because it'll have the moveset of that Charizard.
I like when they do things like that.
I cannot find the moveset, but it's neat. I always like those two. Oh, here it is. Yeah. Got Heat Wave, Blast Burn, Hurricane, and Protect. Solar power ability, holding a life orb, and it is capable of Gigantamaxing. So there you have it.
There we go. Pokemon Cafe Remix is out.
Yay.
Yay. I like this game. I like it a lot more on mobile. It's much easier to play on mobile, that's for damn sure. So.
I can't even imagine trying to play that on the Switch.
I tried. I downloaded it once and I was like, I don't understand. Like it's just
flat out don't understand.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just gonna play it on my phone. So yeah. But anyway, it's out. There's a whole bunch of new stuff.
Yeah, I like it. Like, I'll be honest, I've been playing it since, because I played the Pokemon Cafe when it first came out, and I stopped playing because they ran out of content for me.
Yeah,
and I'm like, I'm not gonna do this.
And that's
for
that's the death knell for Christian Hoffer when it comes to games. No more content, Christian's out.
Yeah, well, it's like I did it all.
Or you could just do what I do and start 3 years late, and then when the game, when you realize the game has been discontinued or is about to close, then you know, Pokemon Unite is coming. Not Unite. Pokemon Duel is coming back. I promise.
Can't even remember what the.
Well, game go, did, Aaron. I think you had something.
Did anybody pick this when we did all the spinoffs last year? When we did the list of best Pokemon spinoffs, did anybody pick this?
No, I don't think anyone chose it as their favorite, because it's.
I don't know. We all picked such weird things. I'm like, I expected I could, you know, accept anybody picking anything. My mom enjoys this game. We're a big puzzle household, so anything that just reminds me a little bit of Pokemon Puzzle League, I will nose around in for at least a second, like Pokemon Troze or any of that stuff.
My wife plays Pokemon Cafe. She was playing it pretty regularly. I think she, like, you know, kind of petered out on it when they're like, okay, guys, we're going to come out with a new version of the game. So, you know, we're not going to release anything for 3 months. I hope you understand. And I think that's when she, like, moved back to, like, Homescapes or whatever the game is, where you're following the butler as he, like, keeps fixing this house from hell up. But yeah, no, I like it. Like, I like the fact that, you know, they kind of like the leveling system is pretty cool. Like, I feel like it's easier to do the stuff. Like, it's still, there's still like gated content, but like, I feel like it's easier to do everything and it's all like interconnected. And like, I love the designs of Pokemon Cafe. Like, I think that, you know, give me more like blushing Lucario. Like, you know, he's like the protagonist of some like Josei manga. You know, like I freaking love the stuff. It's just great. Just great designs. The gameplay, you know, like Pokemon,
don't give them any ideas. I'd watch the Lucario restaurant anime for at least 6 or 7 episodes. Totally.
Oh,
I
honest to God, like Lucario as like, you know, trying to run a cafe, you know, and, you know, he's got like a harem of available Pokemon like chasing after him while he does you know to be 100% honest is like completely 100% my stuff, like you know, like that is my jam when it comes to anime. It's like give me slice of life romance with Pokemon. Like, have them make Pokemon eggs, and no one explains how they're made.
Stop. We're not going down that road again until we can talk to someone about how Pokemon eggs are made. We're not doing that again. If you want to listen to our rant about Pokemon eggs, it's like four episodes back, maybe three. You can find it there, because look, we were trying to end the show on that episode, and we brought it up, and it was like 15-20 minutes later, and we still had no idea where the hell eggs come from or how they work. But anyway,
my favorite rant, speaking of Pokemon eggs, sorry, we're doing throwbacks. This is just going off the wall. It's like we've got like new blood, and already this is just like one of the most off-kilter shows ever. do you remember when we like talked about like Ash and Go, like they're going to be Pokemon interns when they like announced the entire thing? I'm like, oh my god, maybe they're going to finally discover the secret of how Pokemon like eggs are made. It's like Ash and Go, we've put this like male Nidoran and a female Nidoran in a room, and the two of you are going to watch, and you're going to detail everything that happens until these Pokemon get made.
I don't half expect. We're probably going to like instead it's just going to focus on like just the creation of Pokeballs. But like, look, Legends has perfect opportunity. This is early days of building out the Pokédex. Absolute perfect opportunity for us to understand how some of these entries were made and how they discovered some of this stuff. Not going to happen, but we can hope.
We'll go back to that at the end of the episode with the Poke Fact of the Week, because I have questions on this week.
Oh, actually, I looked at the Pokemon Fact of the Week today, and I like that we have someone new for an absolutely horrifying one. So this will be great. Christian, why is Fusion Strike the biggest trading card game set?
Because it's a dump set. They couldn't fit 90 cards into a past one, so they put those in there. So it's got like 290 cards or
starting 200... next week.
Oh man,
breaking them open.
That's just crazy.
That's a lot of cards.
It is.
I'd be really curious to see like what the what are the cards that
of them is going to be. Sleeping Espeon VMAX on top of a house. We're finally getting our Espeon VMAX alternate art card, people.
Everyone wanted.
Yeah, no. No, it's going to be huge. Give me a second. Yeah. I'll pull up some like details on it. 284 cards.
Good
Lord. Then that's not including the secret rares. Part of that is because 55 cards from Evolving Skies
got moved.
Yep, got moved. And so it's 90 cards from Evolving Skies got put into Fusion Strikes. But this will catch us up with Japan. So hopefully that means no more extra cards.
Well, that's it. And so then the next set is the V-Star set, right?
Yeah. It's VMAX Climax.
VMAX Climax, then V-Star.
How can you forget VMAX
Climax? Oh, really, really easy. Really, really easily, Christian. A lot more easily than I think.
Like,
good Lord. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in 60 seconds to talk about, at this point, who the hell knows. But so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/RS10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/RS10 today.
Okay, well, this is like bonus Pokemon fact of the week for you this week, because Zora and Zoroark's backstory.
Oh, they're horrific. It's we spoke last week about you how know, they killed it's like person. It's a ghost type, and it's like, you know, like just wait, like we're going to get something absolutely horrific, and by God, the Pokemon Company did not disappoint. So they officially revealed it, because it's weird. This entire rollout has taken like 2 weeks, and you know, which is kind of surprising, like how much they've drawn this one out. So we knew last week that it was a normal ghost type, and now we know the dark, horrible history behind these new Pokemon. So I'm just going to read this off of the website. So the headline is "Reborn as a Ghost Type Using the Power of Spite." So, like, right there, it's like, oh my god, I think this is my Pokemon right here. These Zoroa migrated to the Hisui region after being driven from other lands by humans who shunned the Pokemon for manifesting uncanny illusions. But the Zoroa perished, unable to survive the harsh Hisuian environment and strife with other Pokemon. Their lingering souls were reborn into this ghost-type form through the power of their malice towards humans and Pokemon. Amazing. Absolutely amazing.
These are angry as hell Pokemon.
Just so vengeful little things. Why? It's so funny.
Oh. I mean, look, it explains why they killed a dude.
Aaron, what are your thoughts about these new, like, Hisuian Pokemon? Like, this is, you know, because this is how you ended up on the show.
Yeah, because I was like, about them. Yo, the art is really cool, and then you read the description, and you're like, oh no, everything is bad. So one of the things that drew me on to like the like larger conversation around Pokemon in the earlier days of me being on the internet was people kind of bonding over, yo, the ghost type Pokedex entries are really dark. Like, when you think about a lot of them, like, this is not happy times. Like, what? And it's just like building. We got here from all those other weird Gen 1 and Gen 2 Pokedex entries to the point where that sounds like a legitimate like horror novel pitch. Is like the vengeful spirit of like, this is Antler, but like has Pokemon, right?
Well, this is like I said, like one of the other ones, Aaron. I'm not sure if you know this one, but it's our go-to for reminding people how creepy things are. Is lanterns and hang out around hospitals, just feasting off the souls of the recently perished. That's all.
My favorite one might be Drifloon.
No big.
Oh, Drifloon, where like they pick up children.
Yeah, I was like, wait, what? Because I love Drifloon. I'm like, this little guy, never. What's wrong with you?
I like how they all look so cute too. It's like you would never expect like Zoroa is like, you know, that's like what's the cute little red panda that like the Hello Kitty people make, who like, you know,
Sanrio.
Like like, you know, the Netflix series. It's all about this.
Agritsuko.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh my god. Like, you know, this is you know, Zoroa basically is like, we need to like one up that. What happens if we made her but dead? Like, you know, like it's just like, and I knew it was gonna be something great, but I was not expecting this Pokemon was driven out from its home because people did not like its, you know, innate natural abilities. And then it moved to like the wastelands of the Sinnoh region, died, and then came back because it hated everything. And now it just exists to like haunt and terrify people with its even worse, because the sub entry is like equally horrific. So it's like if Hisuian Zoroa spots a lone person or a Pokemon, the Zoroa may appear before them in a guise mimicking the target's appearance. So it's like, oh, hello, traveler traveling through the woods. Now you see yourself also walking through. It's like, unlike the illusions of the previously discovered forms of Zora, these ghostly mimicries are created using the spiteful power emitted from the long fur on its head, around its neck and on its tail. And it absorbs and draws strength from the terror of those who witness its illusions. So these things follow like lone travelers through the woods, shows up like as themselves, like, hey, like I'm you now. This is like straight up like what Mark Zuckerberg is going to do to all of us one day. You know, one day robot Christian Hoffer is going to show up at my doorstep and it's like Mark Zuckerberg sends his regards and then he's going to kill me and then bury me in the backyard and no one will ever know.
Zenpai in the chat. I can't wait for the Pokedex entry that straight up says it eats people.
It's coming.
It's coming. Look, there's no way for me to segue out of this to the next thing, so I'm just going to let Nick put the image on the screen, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah. Could Hisuian Zoroark have been the villain of Shang-Chi? Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Yes. Right. But,
So we have a Pokemon and sumo partnership.
Yes. As you can see here, there is Pikachu.
Thank you.
He is surrounded by a bunch of sumo wrestlers. They are all looking at him and smiling. Pikachu looks rather surprised by here. I'm doing a description for those of you
for those listening who
can't. No one's quite sure what's going to happen here. Is Pikachu about to challenge these six, you know, sumo wrestlers like until one-on-one?
He's going to have to Gigantamax first.
I don't know. He's about the size. If you count his ears. he's about tall, but you know, like when they like did the official announcement for this, like, and they like just sent the picture, I'm like, oh my god, like 1,000 memes. I'm going to use this image.
This is a very good new meme template for sure.
Like, you know, like Zach Morris, like, yeah, that's me in this picture. You may be wondering how I found myself in this situation. Yeah, so Pikachu, the Pokemon company and the official sumo, the federation, or the kind of like the equivalent to like FIFA only for sumo, has announced a partnership. Sumo wrestlers will actually be wearing like aprons depicting like Pokemon as they walk into the ring. They will be I think like the tights that they wear will also be like Pokemon themed. So yeah, this entire thing, basically I just wanted to show this image to like our Twitch chat. You can pull it down now, Nick. I'm having thoughts just by staring at that too long and it's disturbing me.
Well, let's just go to the Pokemon fact of the week.
I mean, just keep showing it, you know.
We're just, you know, there's just no way to like segue to and from that story. I will say this though, before we get to the PokeFact of the week, I love that Pokemon keeps like teaming up with different like organizations like this, mm-hmm. to, like kind of like, because it's a great promotion. Like sumo is like, you know, a great combat sport, I can't help but wonder, I don't know the specifics about sumo. I'm not like a sumo expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I can't help but wonder if they're running into like a generational thing where it's like, we need to get more kids into sumo. In the chat, someone's like, it's a missed opportunity if no one references Hariyama. I was kind of surprised that, you know, they didn't like pull out like a Hariyama mascot for this.
Yeah, well, but I mean, but also too, but I think it's exactly like you said, right? Like it's a thing where it's probably like a generational thing, right? Like how do we get young kids to care about sumo or and like this is it, right? Like, and I'm trying to think, like, what are some of the other things in like just on our like stateside, right? Like what are like some sports that are like, you know, dying out generationally that like, you know, you just like you shove Captain America in there and be like, look, kids, Baseball. Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Well, do you remember? Do you guys remember? This was be like 2011, 2012 when Stan Lee went and made mascots for all 30 NHL hockey teams, and they were like the most ridiculous and awful things like anyone had ever seen.
Yep.
You know, like I feel like I feel like I'd give me Pikachu.
Rival that. John boxing's another good one. Like, you know, pre this like random like carnival circus that we have in boxing.
I mean, Jake Paul really is the Pikachu.
That's it. You're right. That's exactly it. Right? Because then think of it this way too, right? Like how to WWE, he showed up in a WWE ring trying to get that YouTuber audience to come on over to watch him WWE. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Logan Paul is Pikachu.
The fellow kids thing is very, very real. You run the risk of like pandering and then being like, ooh, this is cringe. But you know, if you're a sports dog, you're willing to try anything. Like Christian said, I remember this Stan Lee thing and I was like, that doesn't sound like a good idea at all. And then it wasn't. And then you see they didn't try or use any of that stuff again. I think that worked. Huh?
I was about to say they debuted it and then they never spoke on of it ever again.
Into the vault.
Great. Well, it was looked on so highly. I mean, I can only imagine why. all right, let's get the Pokemon fact of the week here because we gotta get moving.
All right. So this week's we're to Umbreon. We promised a lot of like creepy Umbreon facts, and like Umbreon is the most messed up of all the Eevee evolutions. It's not even a contest. Like, you know, like if Espeon is disappointing because it's like psychic abilities are actually it can just read air patterns really well, like Umbreon makes up for it in spades. Umbreon not only, you know, has poisonous sweat, it sprays its poisonous sweat at its opponent's eyes. So like when and not opponents, at its prey's eyes. So this is another carnivore Pokemon that like hunts down prey in the night and then sprays it with poisonous sweat. Like,
but it's not even a poison type.
I mean, it's evil type. That's why I think we're okay. From now on, we are only going to refer to dark types by their Japanese translation because they're evil. They're literally evil. That's great. I love Umbreon. Umbreon is the best. You know, I'm trying to find some of the other ones. Everything is, it's just like, oh yeah, it's like,
the rings on its body glow in the moon. It's like, we don't care.
It's like, stupid. It lurks in darkness for prey. I'm like, yeah, give me some more of that. Like, I want to see Umbreon rip someone's like throat out. Like,
one of the funny things when you look at, you know, PokemonDB.net is a great resource for this because it literally like shows all of the games and their entries, and we've seen time and time again where a horrific entry like will only show up once or twice. Like it's like it showed up and then the Pokemon company just moved on and said, well, maybe we went a little too far there. But then like they keep just, you know, doing more horrific ones as the games go on. But like the Umbreon poison eyes one, it like only shows up. It sprang poison sweat from its pores is leaf green. And then in heart gold is like, and I'm just like, what?
Well, no, like, then we get it in sun. We get it in sword.
Oh, do you get it in sun? Yeah. Oh yeah. It sprays it into its opponent's eyes. Sorry. I didn't see it. All right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
I just want to know, like, so like, does that make this like a skunk? Like, you know, cause like, you know, I guess like, you know, cause like that's like the other question. So it has poisonous sweat, but like, does it like, you know, kind of like collect it? It's like running down the armpits and then it does like a whip of sweat off of its fur at someone's eyes. Or does it like, you know, like spray them like water guns?
Okay. Like, you know, but I mean, well, no. So, but it's got the move fake tears. And so now it makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Even though fake tears is a dark move, it should obviously be a poison move. But it's dark because it's
no. Evil. If it were a poison move, it would be called poison tears, Jim.
That's true.
But yeah,
it just gives me massive Dilophosaurus that the Jurassic Park thing. That was the first thing I thought of, and I was like, that does not belong on this box. That was horrifying. It sounds like one of those monsters out of Annihilation. That's not good
for me. Oh, that's great. Well, so since you're in the Megan chair, Aaron, we have to ask, what is your favorite Eevee evolution?
Oh yeah.
Oh man. I probably before Diamond and Pearl, it would have probably been Umbreon, but I really like Glaceon because I used Ice Team in high school, and I just have an affection for their really fragile, really devastating behinds. So, yeah, that. But see, you could ask me tomorrow and I'd be like, but when I was a kid, Umbreon was like the coolest concept imaginable. Like, you're like, what? There's a dark one and you have to evolve it at night during the game. Oh my
so
God.
So edgy.
It's so edgy. Oh. And then the person who I think it was John brought up, it was supposed to be purple rings in the design documents before they changed to yellow. Oh man. That would have been it for me as a kid. I'm like, this is the most metal thing I've ever seen. I'm about this.
Oh man, that is like why I love Umbreon. Umbreon is probably my favorite of like the Pokemon of the Eevee designs. Like that, it's tied with Sylveon. Like, which is it's like there are two Eevees inside of you. One is an Umbreon and one is a Sylveon. I love them both like so much because like Sylveon's got like that pop idol thing. Like I literally have ribbons for fur. Like, I'm always so bright and happy. And like, I remember like when I first saw Sylveon, I'm like, this is like the Pokemon franchise is ruined. This is the dumbest thing in the world. And then like, I don't know, like I saw it like, bouncing around. I'm like, I love it. I love it. I love it so much. It's so happy. And it's like, and then you got like Umbreon, which is literally like, like the Batman of the Eevee evolution universe, just broody and dark with its like blood red eyes. And oh man. I freaking love Umbreon. And yes, it is like the most metal of the Eevee evolutions.
Especially after the Pokedex entry, of course it is.
Yeah.
Like it and Shadow the Hedgehog need to be in a game together now.
Oh my God. That would be like the ultimate game. Like every 9-year old edgelord would buy that game. People are like, never mind the literal metal Pokemon. There's nothing metal about steel type Pokemon. Like,
I don't know. I mean, Steelix is pretty. Steelix. Steelix is pretty metal.
The only steel type Pokemon, like, I will say I like Skarmory. I like Skarmory for some reason. And it's just like, it's like, it's like this absolutely one of those like useless Pokemon that like has like no place. I'm always like, oh, Skarmory, I need to catch that thing. I'm going to add that to my team. And then I'm going to wonder why my team sucks.
All right. Well, we are up on time. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Aaron, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on the show today.
Thank you, guys.
Man. We have
this
to do it again.
It was
a lot of fun. If you're new to the show, I could tell you some lie that the show is not normally like this, but it is. Megan is usually the one that keeps us a bit more on track than anything else. But go wish her congratulations at Megan Peters CB. She just got married. We're all very happy for her. So she needs all the time that she needs to go celebrate that. Otherwise, you can find the show at Pokemon Pod CB on Twitter. If you haven't yet, please leave us a 5-star review over on iTunes. Really does go a long way to helping out the show, so really would appreciate that. And if you want to chat with us, you can find me at Jim Viscardi, Christian's at Seahoffer C Bus, and Aaron is at Summit Lake Hornet on Twitter. Ask us all of your Pokemon questions; we will answer them. And until next time, I hope you guys get all the shiny luck, and we'll catch you next week. See you later.